Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It was really one of the most remarkable things I've seen a rookie quarterback do. Justin Herbert to the Chargers last year was not only the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year, but he broke in the history of the National Football League. He set the NFL rookie record for touchdown passes and yards per game and 300-yard games and completions behind the last-ranked offensive line in the NFL. And I'm simply not sure how many players in this league could do that. But he's also humble, entering his second year, and four new starters on the offensive line, the pride now of the Chargers, formerly of the Oregon Ducks, and he's joining us live. So, you know, Justin, it's great because seasons are long, and you guys ended on a four-game winning streak at the end of last year. What is the value of that to you? I know it's last year, new staff, but that it's give me why that matters to you.
Yeah, well, first off, thanks for having me. And I think that four-game winning streak tells us a lot because you have to find ways to win games in the NFL. And, you know, in the first half of the season, we lost so many close games decided by 7 points or fewer. And every game in the NFL is going to come down to 2 minutes or something like that. And for us to kind of find a way to win late in the season, I think we found out how to do that. And I think if we can carry that over and apply that to an entire season, you know, I think we could be really good.
So you guys lost 12 games, by the way, decided by one possession last year. You did not lose all of them, so that's most in the NFL. I want you to take me to the practice you had today and go back 1 year from today at any practice. What is the difference for you a year removed from last year? How has the world changed? How you see the game?
Yeah, that's a great question, because last year I think I was just worried about lining up correctly and opening to the running back the right way. And I was just worried about saying the play correctly, making sure I don't forget any motions. But this year it's a little different. I have to worry about mic IDs and flipping protections and making sure that, you know, I'm on the right side given certain coverages. So it's definitely been a different year, but it's been a lot of fun.
You're only 22 years old, or you were last year. I don't know your birthday, which, by the way, when is your birthday?
It's March 10th.
Okay. Well, so you're 22 right now.
All right. 23, actually.
Okay, you're 23. My bad. So I said last year, one of the things I've always wondered is when you walk in and you're the youngest guy in the locker room and everybody says, okay, go be a leader. And I'm like, well, he's 23. His teammates are 29 and 30. Do you feel a little more comfortable off what you accomplished walking in and letting your presence, your voice be heard a year later?
Yeah, I think so. I think the important thing is to be yourself. And I've never wanted to be a rah-rah guy who's only up when things are good. And I want to be the same person when times are bad and when times are good. And being true to yourself and being yourself and being genuine with your teammates and having a relationship outside of football. I think all of those things go into being a good leader. And when things need to be said, I don't have a problem stepping up and saying them. But I could always be better. So that's just something that I'm always going to work on.
So you have a new coach and four new offensive linemen. And by the way, you know, you've got a center who's a Pro Bowler, Corey Linsley. How long, Justin, until they're used to your voice, your cadence, your inflection? Because part of this game as a quarterback is manipulating the defense, getting them to move, to show their tell. Like, how long do you feel it's going to take before there's some symmetry here and you feel like, okay, this is a unit, we're all one here?
I feel like we've actually got a pretty good step on that. I think the entire spring when we were able to work in OTAs and kind of work together, all those guys showed up and we got to work on the cadences. And Brian Balog is definitely a guy who's always been on me, even last year, about, you know, making my snap count sound differently and having multiple cadences to hold the defense accountable. And for him to do that and, you know, kind of hold me accountable, I think that's awesome. And it's only going to help us. And for us to be able to use different snap counts, different cadences, I think it gives our offensive line a huge advantage.
You know, it's funny. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were talking about a certain NFL quarterback. And I'm not going to mention his name, but they said he's not a great practice player, but he's a good game player. And I always think to myself, you know, if you're Tom Brady, I read a story the other day, he's punting a football, he's screaming and yelling at people, and he's throwing his helmet at practice after a bad practice. And you can do that if you're Brady. What is your personality like? Do you have the intensity at practice that you would in a game? Are you a good practice player? How do you view it as you grow?
I try to be perfect in practice, and it's unfortunate because I'm never going to be perfect in practice, and I have those almost unreachable standards in practice, and I need to be better at, you know, coming back at the next play. And I've done a great job working on that this past year. And you know, you're going to make mistakes, you're going to throw interceptions, incompletions. It's all about bouncing back on the next play and giving your team a chance at winning. And you know, I think practice is a great place for that, because I'm going to throw interceptions and incompletions in practice, and I'm going to have an opportunity to get better after them. So you know, I've tried to stay pretty level-headed during practice.
So you were sacked. You and Joe Burrow were tied for the most sacked quarterback last year. And Russell Wilson, even this offseason, complained publicly. He said, "Like, I'm tired of getting hit. It hurts." When you're getting sacked last year, there's a big difference between an Oregon State guy hitting you and a Kansas City Chief guy. Was there a moment last year for you, Justin, that you felt the hits were taking their toll, if not physically, mentally on you?
No, I think we did a pretty great job in our strength and conditioning program, where I felt like I was able to kind of withstand some of those hits. And a lot of them were my fault, too. You know, I could have got the ball out earlier. I could have changed the protection and things like that. So it's on all of us. But, you know, I think as long as you take care of your body, you keep eating the right things, you work out, you stretch and stay durable, I think you're able to take it. Some hits, and obviously you don't want to take too many, but I think we did a good job of that this past year and even this year, too.
So they always say for quarterbacks, it takes until year three. Russell Wilson said year three, the light came on. And I guess that means, he told me one time, the game slowed down. So I just want you to try to explain to me, because I want to get into your head here. Is the game slowing down to you? And kind of explain what that would mean to somebody watching us talk, that as you play in the NFL, because it's obviously faster than the college game, that it slows down. What exactly does that mean or look like to you?
Yeah, that's one of those tough things, because you look at a college team and you say maybe one or two of those guys on defense is going to go to the NFL. And on an NFL team, every single guy is part of the NFL. They're all fast. They're all – every guy on the field is probably faster than me. And that's kind of what you have to realize. And the speed of the game is so much quicker. And realizing coverages and holding disguises, it makes playing the quarterback position so much harder. And there's just so much that I need to learn and so much film that I need to watch to really understand a defense for what it is. And I think the more you can do that, the better you're going to get. Coach Day and I, we've done a great job of that this offseason, watching film. But there's always so much more you can understand about run fits and protections and things like that. The list goes on.
Yeah. By the way, Keenan Allen is one of the most underrated players, not just receivers. I remember when he played at Cal. He's just an incredible player. But it's funny. He doesn't run the fastest, or he's not the biggest, but there's an it factor to him. If I'd never seen Keenan Allen play, Justin, and I said, Justin, tell me what makes Keenan Allen special. How would you describe it?
That's a tough place to start. I would say he finds a way to get open. However he does it, he understands leverage so well, and he's able to break, contain, and find a place to sit. Or he's just got such a good feel for the game. And he's got incredible hands, too, and he catches everything that I throw to him. And there are even times where, you know, I'm hanging on to him too late just because I know he's going to get open. And sometimes I get back to the progression too late. But Keen just finds a way to get open, makes plays. And with the ball, he can make guys miss. And you know, he might not be the fastest guy in the game, but, you know, he's got some good speed, and he runs some pretty good routes, too.
Finally, you have a new coach, and he's a defensive coach, Brandon Staley. He's a young guy. He's very smart. But, you know, defensive coaches, Justin, they don't want quarterbacks to make mistakes. They want the defense to win the game. Have you ever gone up to your coach yet and said, Coach, you got to lighten up. I'm going to throw the deep ball. I got a good arm here. Defensive coaches generally are more conservative than offensive coaches. Have you sensed that yet?
No, he's done a great job of communicating with us. And he even played quarterback for a little bit, too. So he really understands the game. And you know, we ended up completing a post ball into quarters a couple days ago for a touchdown. And he came back the next day, tried to hold that look, disguised it, and got the safety deep. And, you know, I think they made a good play on the ball. So It's a game of cat and mouse, and he's done an incredible job, so it's been awesome to play for him so far.
Justin Herbert, Chargers. I'm going to a couple of your games with my buddies. I've got several buddies who bought season tickets to watch you play. Good luck. Stay healthy, my friend. We'll talk soon.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Justin Herbert, just a wonderful kid and a world-class talent. They may have some practices, I think, next weekend at SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles. So the Chargers are pretty good, you know, for media. If you call, I want a field pass to watch him. I've had buddies go to practice. They're like, oh, my God. Remember TJ Hushmanzada? You got to give him credit. Came on this show, and he said, whoever passes on Justin Herbert is making a huge mistake. I remember that. TJ said, I'm a pro athlete. That dude's ankles and shoulders, like, that guy's going to be a star in this league. I remember he said it multiple times. He goes, I don't know what all these scouts are seeing, but if he's available and you don't draft him, then you don't know what you're doing. And he was right. By the way, he was a 4-point biology major.
That's what's going to say, the mental side of it. He's so aware. He's so thoughtful. He even sent you, when you had your medical emergency, he sent you a little gift.
Yes.
He just took responsibility here. No, it wasn't. It was my fault that I got sacked so many times. Like, he takes responsibility.
Yeah.
He's a team player.
Yeah, he really is. Good to have him on.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
DoorDash is here. Get more from your neighborhood. It's the summer of Dash Pass. $10 off groceries, pet food, could be alcohol. Try Dash Pass for free. Get year-round savings. Stay cool out there. Terms and conditions apply. All right. Alex with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, Russell Westbrook will be heading west as a member of the Lakers next season, but he almost made the move 2 years ago with the other LA team when he was still on the Thunder. He reportedly initiated a conversation with Kawhi Leonard about teaming up on the Clippers, but Kawhi responded by reaching out to Westbrook's Thunder teammate, Paul George, asking him to join forces. So a little bit of a shady roundabout way of Kawhi to get a player. It worked, but
Paul, I will say this, given the choice of the two, Paul is a plus defender.
Yeah.
So, and I've said this before, Paul George gets a lot of heat and he's not as consistent as, you know, LeBron James in his prime. Paul George is a really good basketball player. Paul's a bigger athlete. Paul had been at that point, except for one exception, a healthy athlete, and Paul's a very good plus defender. So, and a good ball handler for his size. So if you'd have told me I was going to choose the two, even though Westbrook gets more love from fans, I would have chosen Paul George over Westbrook too. And that's not a shot at Russell. Paul George, in this league right now, everybody is looking for plus defenders on the wing to be able to guard great wing players, multiple positions. Paul George is that.
I'm just trying to imagine how that conversation went. Hey, Paul, so your teammate's thinking about, he's willing to leave, so do you want to do it instead and come join me? So it just, it's always fun when you get those little behind the scenes, little nugget informations of how it all went down.
Yep.
So yeah, there's that. Well, moving on, Bears fans are extremely excited about seeing what rookie Justin Fields can do for their team next season. But Fields is urging those fans to be patient as he continues to learn what it takes to be an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I'm constantly growing every day. So, of course, you know, there's a lot of people that, you know, are anxious to see me play. But I think I said in my last interview, you know, greatness doesn't happen overnight. Like, I don't really get upset if I miss a throw because I know that I can make that throw. So right now I'm more focused on, like, the mental part of, you know, the game and just trying to make sure I'm on my P's and Q's and knowing what I need to do, you know, mentally and what I need to do, like, before the play call and after. But the ups and downs, you really just can't really dwell on those. From the downs, you just have to learn from them and just move on to the next day.
By the way, he started a lot of games at Ohio State.
Uh-huh.
So one of the things I like about Justin Fields, he played in a legit conference against good teams. He started a ton of games. He faced Clemson, had one of his best games. So
what's your prediction? What week do you think we might see Justin Fields?
Week two.
Really?
Yeah, Ryan, what's the Bears' schedule?
See, I think what they'll week one at Rams.
Okay, so they'll...
Week two at Bengals.
Okay, so nice job.
First Bengals.
All right, so here's what you do.
Yeah.
You go to the Rams, you give it to Dalton, he loses. It makes it very easy for him to go and play the Bengals at home.
Okay.
So you probably give Andy the first start. Or you could get crafty here and give Andy a few starts. Do you want Justin Fields having to go to Cleveland to face Myles Garrett? No thanks. Maybe you start him home against Detroit, then at the Raiders, two wobbly defenses. All I know is this. I want Justin.
So two or four.
Yeah, I think I may. Everybody says you play him game one, but this is all a game, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I want him facing Aaron Donald in week one.
No, it's a chess match.
That was the number one defense in the NFL last year. I don't think that's for his confidence. Now, I'd love to have him face Cincinnati, but then do I want him to face Myles Garrett and Cleveland? Not really.
Okay.
But if you ask me, week four, Detroit, week five, Raiders, neither defense I like. And then you take your chances against Green Bay at home. I mean, listen, it's the NFL. There's no ideal place to start him. But I think most people think he's going to start week one. I have a feeling Andy Dalton will get the week one call. He was promised it by somebody.
Yep. Okay. All right, well, moving on. Lamar Jackson is a legend at University of Louisville, and he will now be immortalized by his former college. The school's athletic director announced that Lamar will get a statue outside of Cardinal Stadium. It's expected to be placed at the main entrance next to the one of Johnny Unitas. And when hearing the news, Lamar was clearly emotional about the honor, tweeting, "That's major. I appreciate that." Like, y'all, serious?
No, good for him.
That's so special. I mean, you are forever remembered. Your legacy is now there for the remainder that the school's there, the stadium's there, the statue's there. That's
special.
Look at it.
Special. Louisville didn't get on. I watched him a couple times. I think he played Clemson a couple times, and I watched him. And he was obviously an amazing athlete. My question was always to him. He runs a lot, and he's thin. But you know what's interesting is that the only thing that ever worries me about Lamar is he's got to get a little more Russell Wilson, which is don't take hits. Because about twice a game, I think he runs so fast that sometimes he almost runs into hits. He's so fast. That's the only thing. I don't worry about his throwing. I don't think he's ever going to be Elway. He's good enough. But he takes some shots.
Oh, yeah.
Like real sideline shots. That's the part of his game I really want to see grow. Dude, slide. Like, get down. About once a Sunday, you're wincing watching him take a shot.
Yeah.
Good stuff, Alex, for the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
Just got this little gem. This is almost breaking news. Trey Lance, 49ers, just got his first reps with the starters in team drills.
Ooh.
Threw a touchdown three plays later. Boom. Let the magic happen. Bucky Brooks around the corner of the Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Former NFL defensive back, former NFL scout. I challenge him often, and that's why he comes on the show. I'll go right after Bucky Brooks, my friend. Okay, so I said, I understand the pressure of athletes. I'm not a Neanderthal. Simone Biles, I get it. But there is a thing about the NFL, like you kind of sign up for, you're hurt, next man up. Carson Wentz is hurt. Well, you can't bring in Nick Foles. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm the GM. It's a Super Bowl roster. Bucky, why can't I call Nick Foles?
Because we saw what happened when you brought Jalen Hurts in. We've seen it time after time. In Indianapolis, you absolutely cannot bring in a veteran that could absolutely threaten him. Because remember, he's a guy who's trying to repair his confidence. And the last thing that Frank Wright and Chris Ballard would do is put him in a situation where that confidence will be threatened. Even though everyone is on the outside saying, oh, the sky is falling because he's hurt. He may be out 5 to 12 weeks. I actually believe the Indianapolis Colts are well positioned to be fine and weather this storm. Because when you look at this team, this team isn't really a quarterback-centric team.
Not right now,
it's
no.
It's a team that was built for the offensive line. Their running game, they have three backs that can get it done, Nyheim Hines, Marlon Mack, and then Jonathan Taylor. Defensively, I believe they could be a top defense. Matt Eberflus has done a great job of getting this defense to play. And so it will be a more conservative style than the fans are used to seeing in Indianapolis. But running game defense will give them a chance to keep it afloat until Carson Wentz returns.
Well, I did make this argument yesterday. They do play in a wobbly division.
Yes.
What worries me is they open with a Rams-Seahawks, and that's probably going to be 0-2. I don't want those defenses with Jacob Eason. So you think Chris Ballard here is just basically saying, listen, after 8 weeks, if he comes back 8 weeks, we're 3-5, and I've got to battle a average Tennessee team. That's what you think they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, like the team to beat or the team that they have to compete with in that division is Tennessee. So if you think about it, normally, Colin, the goal is to get to the halfway mark right around 500. If you can get there 500, that gives you a chance because you want to get hot down the stretch. This defense is legit, and they can keep them in the mix. This was a defense that at one point in the year was the number one defense. They turn it over. They do a great job, and they should be even more dominant another year in this defense. DeForest Buckner, more explosive players to bring Kwity Paye over. The secondary returns intact. So I'm bullish on this defense. Offensively, the news about Quentin Nelson hurting his foot in a way that is similar to Carson Wentz, that is troubling because if he is there, then I'm all the way in on they're going to run the football. They're going to do it. Because remember this about Frank Wright, and I think it's underreported. Frank Wright is a product of Bobby Ross. Bobby Ross, longtime college coach at Maryland, Georgia Tech, in the National Football League with the San Diego Chargers. It's about toughness. It's about the running game. At his heart, that's how Frank Wright wants to build his team. So they'll be okay with or without Carson Wentz.
Let's talk about this. Trey Lance just took over first-team reps. Three plays later, touchdown. So you tell me. You're sitting there with Kyle Shanahan. There is value in a veteran player who is one with guys in that locker room. Trey Lance hasn't, but I said it when he got drafted. He and Justin Fields are going to do stuff at practice, and the old guy's going to be like, okay, that guy's a baller, that guy can play. Would you just, even if Trey looks the part, and maybe at times moves the offense better, would you start Garoppolo early for the room?
Ooh, I don't know. See, because we talk about the room is also very aware of someone who is special on the field, no matter what position. Guys remember, or guys that have that ooh-wee factor, they stick out. And so we're getting reports that Trey Lance is dazzling as an athlete and as a playmaker. If it's even close, you go to Trey Lance. And the reason why is because it gives Kyle Shanahan the opportunity to have the best of both worlds. Because this offense is a monster, regardless of who plays at quarterback, because of the run game. That stretch bootleg run game terrorizes people. But now you have a quarterback that will allow Kyle Shanahan to do some of the stuff that he did with RG3, where now you have to account for the quarterback. So you can't chase the front side run because you're worried about the quarterback coming out the back door on the bootleg. You can't go hard on the zone run because now Trey Lance can pull it. It gives them an opportunity to be more dynamic. And with the weapons that they have coming back, George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, a plethora of runners, and now you put in a quarterback that also can add to the run, if he shows that he's ready, you put him in as soon as possible and go with it because he will work through those mistakes. And defensively, they should be good enough to hold it until he matures and becomes the playmaker that everybody believes he will be.
It's interesting. We had a discussion off the air when Justin Herbert played for Oregon before he went to the NFL. You and I had gone on the air and said multiple times, I don't see the holes in his game. Big, strong, athletic, smart. But he played in a very conservative offense. And we now... He has something in common, and I'll let you tell the story, with the young man, Justin Fields, at Chicago, who we like, but there are some questions about, well, can he do this? Can he do that? And there's a belief that Justin Herbert at Oregon and Justin Fields at Ohio State have something in common.
Yeah, they do have something in common. One, they stayed around so long that we picked holes in their game. Like, it happens every year in a draft. There's one guy that we single out that we are just going to absolutely torpedo their game.
Because we've seen so much of him.
We've seen so much of him. We have to find somebody to talk about and continue to drive the conversation. With Justin Herbert and Justin Fields, I believe both of their coaches held them back because they needed to, because they didn't have guys that were ready to play behind them. So we didn't see Justin Herbert run much at Oregon. He played in a more conservative style because Mario Cristobal knew, this is my QB1. I don't have anybody behind him. I need to keep him healthy and upright. Similar stuff for Justin Fields. He had the bad outing that everyone saw on national TV against Indiana and then Northwestern in the championship game. He couldn't get it going. But then we kind of forget or overlook when they dazzle against Clemson. So for Justin Fields, I think Justin Fields is going to be a far more impactful and dominant pro player than he was as a college player, because when you see the flashes, I was taught a long time ago, grade the flashes. When they show you those spectacular skills, they can replicate it. You have to give them a chance. I believe Justin Fields is going to be an outstanding player in Chicago. And much like we celebrate and rave over Justin Herbert, I think we'll come back in 12 or 24 months and have the same kind of conversation about Justin Fields.
Yeah, it's funny about Justin Fields, because in the Senior Bowl, he lit it up. And then in the Rose Bowl, when Oregon's Mario Cristobal knew it's the last game of the year, we'll let him run. Well, everybody went, okay, ho. All the critics were like, oh, because remember that Wisconsin defense was good.
Yes.
That was like one of the best Wisconsin defenses in 15 years. So I got to ask you about this. John Gruden's story came out. There's no now, you got to win now mandate. But when he got there, 2 years before he was there, 7 Pro Bowlers. Year before he got there, 5 Pro Bowlers. Now the Raiders have 2 Pro Bowlers. And I know Gruden has influence on the draft. When I look at them, 66 sacks in 3 years, dead last. Offensive line, lost 3 starters. Tell me what I'm missing. I don't see the progress with the Raiders. Do you?
No, they certainly aren't the same team that we thought they would be. Whenever you pay a coach, a czar, $100 million, the expectation is that he is going to get them to the next level. Remember, this is a team that went to the playoffs under Jack Del Rio.
Yeah.
Jack Del Rio had Derek Carr playing at, I think we considered, an MVP level. So now, Derek Carr has played solid. He's been good, not necessarily great. The team hasn't been great, 19-29 since he took over. At some point, we want to see the wins happen. Who are the young players that are taking over? Because remember, it was controversial when they got rid of Khalil Mack.
I like Josh Jacobs and Max Crosby.
Right. Okay, so those guys are good. But remember, Khalil Mack was a guy who was all pro at 2 positions, outside linebacker and DN, and they moved on from him. They haven't seen the same kind of dominance up front from anybody. And so it's one thing to get a bunch of picks, but those picks have to turn into players. And right now, the Raiders haven't been able to turn those picks into players consistently. So I believe there should be a lot of pressure on John Gruden and everybody to make sure that this team is a playoff team. Because when you look at the division, Kansas City is always going to be in the conversation. We can say that the Chargers are going to be better. Brandon Staley comes over, high IQ coach, will do something to get that defense right. We saw what he did with the Rams. Denver. Some would say Denver is a quarterback away from being a team that can compete at a high level. So when you're the Raiders and teams are – maybe you're looking at this team and maybe they're the 4th best team in the division, to me, Mark Davis has to put a little more pressure on Gruden to get this right, because year 4, the program should be overhauled and turned over. This team needs to be a playoff team in my mind, or it's been an abject failure.
Okay, every year there's a team that doubles their wins that shocks us. And every team, every year, there's a good team that disappoints us. Last year, it was the Niners, but that was injuries, and it's often injuries that derail. I mean, if you told me Baltimore won 8 games, I'd say, who got hurt, right? So I'm not going to ask you for that. But I'm going to tell you what team is going to exceed expectations. And there is no bias here, but Robbie Anderson, Christian McCaffrey, Sam Darnold, DJ Moore, Chuba Hubbard, Matt Rhule, year 2. They solved left tackle. I think Carolina is better than we think in a division where Atlanta's defense is rebuilding and the Saints are rebuilding more than they would admit with a Michael Thomas problem. Carolina has a chance to win 10. Give me your team.
Carolina, wow. I'm trying to take all that in because you threw that on me with Carolina and 10. Here's 2 things that hinge on Carolina. Christian McCaffrey staying healthy.
Yes.
And then Sam Darnold. Which version of Sam Darnold are we going to see? So I'll give you that. I would say keep an eye on the Dallas Cowboys. And the reason why...
You're the second guy that said that.
The reason why, having been up to camp a few times, offensively, I mean, they are loaded. I mean, they are loaded. Zeke is at his college weight. He looks like the Ezekiel Elliott that has been a two-time rushing champion. He's fit. He's ready to go. Offensively, CeeDee Lamb is a super sophomore, meaning if you're going to, in your fantasy drafts, find a receiver that could pop in a major way this year, CeeDee Lamb. Last year, he spent primarily in the slot. This year, they're moving him around the row, the formation, playing everything, and they're doing that with everybody. But the defense, I am really big on what Dan Quinn has done. And Dan Quinn has not only simplified it, but he's found a way to connect with the team where they are just flying to the ball and doing all these things. And I know we're saying, hey, it's just practice. We don't know. But there's something there that you can feel that this defense is going to be much better. And I know when he was coordinating defense in Atlanta at the end and things fell apart, part of that was because of the trust that the team lost in him when they fell apart in the Super Bowl. I believe in Dallas, he turns it around. I watch out for the Cowboys.
Second, former NFL scout John Middlecoff said almost the exact same thing. You scouts, you're just
talented.
Ooh, the brains work the exact same way. Speak for yourself. Thanks, Bucky. Is around the corner on a Tuesday. Good day. A lot of football. Live in LA, it's The Herd.